This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello and welcome to Health and Living with me, Lim Soo Ann. Sending older family members to residential aged care facilities is still stigmatized in today's society, and in some cases, it may not be the best solution when it comes to caring for your older family members. So we are now seeing the rise of part-time home care service providers, but how does having that option benefit not just family members, but especially the older adults themselves? And at the same time, what are the precautions that we do have to take when we engage in these services? So that's what I want to discuss on today's Healthy Aging episode with consultant geriatrician Dr. Koh Hui Min from University Malaya Medical Centre. Hello, Dr. Koh, how are you doing today?
Hello there, Suan. Thanks. I'm doing very well, thank you.
You know, Dr. Koh, as we see a rise in these kinds of services, right, that are part-time, that the carers come to your home for, in providing these care services for older adults, what does it tell us about the needs of older adults and their caregivers that are not being met?
Well, I think it's always on the cards. We're seeing that, you know, Malaysia is becoming an aging nation, and we see the rise in the number of older persons, you know, age 65 and above, and also an increase in their life expectancy. So I think the bigger question we have to ask ourselves is, are we looking after the needs of our older population? And, you know, that could be like what you've mentioned, it could be a physical need where you require care. We also need to think about their mental health needs, you know, their social and their financial support. So the question is whether what we have now in our existing policies, systems, or even services, are we able to cope with the rising needs of our older population? So if you think about caregiving needs that is always on the rise at the moment, I mean, are we actually able as a social support system be able to provide that to our older population? Because at the moment, a lot of these caregiving needs are being put in the burden of the adult children themselves, whether is it financially or even actually providing the care itself. So that's where you see these increase in, you know, part-time or home-based care services from these agencies that allow adult children or even older persons themselves to have another choice for them to remain in their home independently for as long as possible.
Why is it important? I guess when we look at it, right, we often, you know, perhaps say maybe like we look a few years back, people think that, oh, either you just simply deal with it at home or you send older family members to a nursing home, right, to an aged care facilities. But why is it important for them to also have that choice to remain at home and to age in place?
Well, I think that is very, very important because as you can imagine, you know, most or maybe all older persons want to be as independent as they can for as long as they can. You know, you want to decide when you want to do certain things, what time you wake up, you know, and where you want to go. And everyone loves that personal space. So remaining in the older person's home themselves has an effect. Not just about, you know, ensuring that their mental health needs are supported, but at the same time, you know, it also allows family members to be part of looking after the older population as they age. So that's what we see at the moment. Because can you imagine that if you are in a residential care facilities, most things, I'm not saying all, it's more regimental, you know, there is a routine that you have to fit into. And there's also that lack of flexibility as well as personal space. And this whole environment can actually cause a change in the perception of what the older person thinks of themselves. And as a society as a whole, once they get into residential care, you think of these older people as someone who needs to be looked after and may lack their dignity or even their independence.
These residential facilities are not new, right? Here in Malaysia, you know, we've had them for decades and decades, but there's also a very familiar stigma that's attached to it. How much of that stigma do you still see existing? And I guess what's causing that stigma? You know, is it that people feel a sense of filial piety that they don't want to, that they don't feel like they can send parents there? Or is it also, you know, family members worried about the standard of care at these facilities?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think filial piety is something still strongly that exists in a lot of, you know, Asian countries.
Mm-hmm.
And there definitely are lots of doubts as well for family members with regards to residential care. So, I mean, for instance, the first instance is, you know, many do not have a clue on where to look for one, you know, which one is a suitable one and what to expect as they look into a residential care facility. And the other thing is cost, you know, it's whether that you can afford the facility that you hope to have your older person, I mean, your family members in. So, you know, the other things, of course, we will be thinking about, will that residential care facility be able to meet the needs of my family member? You know, what are the kind of quality of care will they receive? What kind of qualification are the care providers? What do they have? So that's something that is in the back of the mind of a lot of family members. So I've got lots of family members who are asking, can you recommend me a home that is suitable? You know, so you get those questions, whether is it from patient or even just from relatives itself. Yeah.
Hmm. So then if we go from residential aged care facilities to these part-time home-based services, right, where do these part-time services fit in? You know, what kind of services would they usually provide? Or what kind of care would they usually provide for older adults short of sending them to a, you know, residential facility?
Yeah. Because I think you have to look at the older adult or the older person as there's a huge spectrum of some who only require very minimal support and some who require or is dependent heavily on nursing care. So, I mean, put into place, let's say, those who require just minimal support.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we can see in a lot of other countries, older people may just require home help where they just come in just to check in on them to make sure that they're okay, or they may just require some support in going out to doing things that they like, or for example, performing their shopping, meal preparation. Sometimes it's just for companionship,
mm-hmm.
or even supervision in taking their medication. If, let's say, for example, if they've recently been discharged from hospital, or at times, you know, encouraging them to do their physical activity or rehabilitation at home.
Mm-hmm.
We've also seen quite a number of home help services where it extends to even escorting the older person for hospital visits when family members are not able to do so. So that's where these part-time or even home care-based services come into place. So they do help family members where they do not have the time to do these things, or even at times where they live far away from their loved ones. Yeah. So I think on the other spectrum, you would see some who require more help. You know, their family members may already be doing most of the physical care, or they may have a domestic helper who does that care.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, they may require more nursing aspect of care. So, for example, if you've got a wound that you need to be managed, or you have, you know, tubes that needs to be changed, then sometimes these home care services will have qualified nurses that can come and just do that aspect of care for you, to give you the confidence that, you know, this part of the care needs are being met.
Mm, so there is really a whole range of spectrum, you know, from the simplest things to something that's a bit more technical that requires medical experience and things like that. But how accepting are older adults or family members even to having, I guess, who initially are strangers, right, in their homes to help them with these things?
Yeah, definitely. So you've got also a mixed response to that. We have got even the older person themselves,
mm-hmm.
they do not like strangers coming in.
Mm-hmm.
They are a little bit more private themselves, and they tend to think that they can manage. But, you know, then again, you could see that a lot of these are initiated mostly by the adult children, not by the older person themselves. Yeah, so there had to be this change in their mindset of actually trying to receive help. And I think because it's not very common, you don't see it happening a lot. So the older person might feel that, oh, you know, am I now are different from other people. So that's what you see. But at the other aspect, we also find that some older person or even their family members are definitely very happy with what they can do to help keep the older person active, mm-hmm. as well as providing them with the support they need to make sure that they're safe at home, really. So that's this mixed response that you would get, yeah.
How can adult children then start that conversation, right? That, you know, would you consider having someone come in to help you with certain things? Because I'm thinking, especially if it's smaller things like meal preparation or, you know, helping them to do grocery shopping, some older adults may be thinking like, why do I need someone to help me do these things?
Yeah. So I think you just have to go step by step. So I think there have to be a very frank discussion or a sensitive one as well, to talk to your older parent about, you know, what do you feel that you need help with? And there also have to be some responsibilities from the adult children themselves to not just let it be taken over by a third party, but also be part of the team in looking after the older person. So maybe just start off with having, possibly just once a week, and then slowly increase it as necessary. So you have that time where they get used to other people coming into a house, and hopefully it's going to be the same person. You don't want to have different person coming each time. Mm. You know, then to build that rapport first, together with yourself, I would say. And then slowly to add in more services as and when it was required.
Mm. Mm. That's an interesting point, Dr. Kaur, that the adult children should also be part of that team, not just that you hire someone and then you let go.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, so even in all aspects of care, mm-hmm. if we even talk about those who require or depend heavily on nursing care, although you may not be the person performing care, I would definitely recommend that they learn or they understand the principles of the care, so that even if you've got someone else to come and do it, you can monitor, you can check and see whether, is this the right way to do certain things? Is this what is required? Although you may not be physically performing it. You know, and even if you allow other home caregivers to come in, they have to have someone that they feedback to. Okay, mm. I've come in this time, I've seen so and so. This is the report of, you know, what happens today and, you know, what we've done. And, you know, you can chip in to giving suggestions, you know, and not just leave everything to the third party. You know, at the end of the day, you know, we know our parents more than anyone else, you see, and our parents definitely feel more comfortable to voice out, you know, their concerns or what they like doing or what they don't like doing to us first than, you know, other people.
Hmm. Let's go for a quick break now, Dr. Kaur. And when we come back, you know, I want to talk a bit more into some of the potential issues or concerns that the older adult or their family members might have with these part-time carers. And you've touched on that a bit, but we'll talk about that a bit more after a quick break. I'm speaking today to consultant geriatrician Dr. Kaur Hui Min from University of Malaya Medical Centre. And we're talking about how we can help older adults age in place, especially with the rise of part-time home care services that can help older adults to maintain their sense of independence, but also support them in their daily activities. We'll be right back after a quick break on BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, Lim Soo. And on the show with me today for our Healthy Aging series is Dr. Kaur Hui Min, consultant geriatrician at University Malaya Medical Centre. And we are talking about the use of part-time, the hiring of part-time home-based carers to help older adults age in place, to help support them in their daily activities, or whether, you know, if they need more significant nursing care, how part-time carers can also help in that, and how that is sort of a middle point between, you know, family members acting as full-time caregivers and sending older adults to residential aged care facilities. Now, Dr. Kaur, before the break, we were talking about the pros, right? The benefits of, you know, these part-time carers, how, you know, and how adult children can start that conversation, can be part of that team that helps to support their older family members. But what are also the potential concerns with hiring part-time carers? I know you mentioned a bit earlier about qualifications, the training that they receive. Could you elaborate more on that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, if anyone was to engage home help or, you know, these home-based services, it's important where do they find these services. So you need to make sure that they are being found in reputable care services providers. And there are definitely questions that you need to ask before you start engaging. So number one, it's about, you know, what sort of training have the caregivers gone through? And the other aspect you need to understand is that, you know, what sort of need does the older person require? So usually if you engage the home-based services, which are reputable, they will have a care manager who assess the needs and then give you recommendation of what is required. But I also have family members who engage possible experienced domestic helpers to come and do this caregiving. Mm-hmm. And most of it is because of cost issue. And just engaging, you know, untrained domestic helpers may not be the best idea. And they may not be able to professionally assess the needs of the older person. Yeah, so I would still say that if you think that the older person has changed in their care needs or their medical condition, mm-hmm. don't just go and engage someone first, you know, bring them for a medical assessment and ensure that, you know, there are causes that could be reversed or, you know, the medical profession will actually tell you that this is what is required and they will need help in these areas. So then you find care providers who are able to meet your need. Yeah.
Mm, that's an important point, to consult your doctor as well, right? Because your doctor can advise you on what the older person's needs are and how you can best meet them. How might it affect the care or the health of an older person, right? Especially if they have significant medical needs, but the carer isn't qualified enough, right? What are the possible dangers there?
I mean, that's also a huge problem because sometimes families may not gone through the right channel in engaging caregivers. And, you know, they like I've mentioned, you know, they might leave the whole caregiving responsibilities completely to a different person. And that is when the risk of deterioration in the health of the older person occur. When if there are problems when it arises that was not picked up earlier, because you're depending on someone else to inform you about changes. And this is extremely dangerous, you know, especially in older persons who may have cognitive impairment or if they're extremely frail and they're unable to express themselves. You need to ensure that, you know, close monitoring is being provided to reduce the chances of inappropriate care being given to the older person.
Mm. Yeah. Is it possible that that inappropriate care could fall into elder abuse, or is that sort of a worst case scenario situation?
I mean, this is not unheard of, although not very common.
Mm-hmm.
Many times when we find that inappropriate care being given was mostly unintentional, whether be due to the lack of knowledge or even sometimes due to caregiving stress itself. So it's very important that if you see there's changes in conditions, you need to, you know, that's a red flag that you need to assess and see how the care is being provided. And, you know, if necessary, talk to your doctors about it.
Mm. Do we have any regulations or oversight for these part-time service providers? And I guess not just part-time, right? Because this would be similar to people who provide full-time residential aged care facilities. What is it like when it comes to the regulations for this area, this field of care?
Well, the short answer to this is no. We at the moment do not yet have a law or policy to govern the operations or runnings of the service providers. You know, in many instances, they may have qualified nurses, but I don't think they have a huge amount of qualified nurses to run this service. And it would be very expensive to engage qualified nurses to do, you know, the day-to-day caregiving job. So at the end of the day, you may have what we call these trained caregivers. And this training may come in-house from the care provider companies itself. Yeah, so or they may have gone to a short course to learn the caregiving. So it's also important, you know, ask for what sort of qualification that they have, what sort of certification, you know, what are the number of hours that they have gone through in terms of the training. You don't want someone who's gone through like, you know, 2 hours of caregiving and then start doing this job itself. You want to also know what experience that they have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I mean, those are the small things that you can look at before engaging anyone.
Hmm. You mentioned, Dr. Kaur, that in many cases, you aren't always able to find trained nurses or the cost of it may be too high, right? Then is there any, should family members be concerned if the caregiver is simply a trained caregiver and not a qualified nurse?
Definitely. So like I say, it depends on the needs that the older person require.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's heavily depending on nursing needs, then, you know, you're going to have to think about getting a qualified trained nurses to provide them. And then that's when instances where older person are being sent to a residential care, where they probably could have more consistent input of nursing issues being met. Yeah, than actually just having a trained caregiver who does not have a nursing background.
Mm-hmm. Versus then, I guess, more simple needs like daily activities, those a trained caregiver can be, you know, is trained to support you in such things, right?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we are also seeing a rise in also nurses, but they may not be local nurses. So these are what we call foreign nurses who comes here, but, you know, they may not have the qualification that was approved in our country itself, you know, but they are still very experienced. So, you know, those are some of the gaps in this law to allow these nurses to help in caregiving duties.
No, Dr. Kaur, we've been talking about meeting the needs of older adults, right? And what happens when those needs aren't met is, to a certain extent, some neglect that is happening. Could adult children sometimes not realise that they're neglecting their older family members? What might that look like?
Yeah, this I mean, out of all the, if you think about neglect, is basically the lack of provision, you know, which most of the time is unintentional of mm-hmm. the needs of the older person. You know, sometimes it could be due to caregiver burnt out or they may not have the knowledge to understand that, you know, this is a neglect that is occurring. So you may find the older person, you know, coming to you looking malnourished, you know, they may have lost a lot of weight, they may appear dehydrated. And in very frail older person, that's when they come in with, you know, pressure ulcers that occurs due to, you know, being in a prolonged period in a specific position, you know, they're not being moved at all. You may also find older people who may look unkempt, you know, they may not have proper clothing, or they may be living in unsafe conditions, you know, with a lack of basic supplies. So it's important that, you know, we don't look at neglect as in like we've done something wrong or we've inflicted, you know, injuries. But, you know, neglect is not providing the care that is required to the older person. Yeah, most of the instances when we explain that to family members, they then understand and they do change in terms of how the care is being provided.
Mm. Is there an emotional component to neglect as well?
Mm. Yes. What we find is that, you look at the specific elder abuse as such, you know, elder abuse comes in many different forms. You've got physical abuse, you know, financial abuse, emotional abuse. Actually, we find that neglect is also a form of abuse. And mm-hmm. that's actually the most common form of abuse when we found in a survey done in Malaysia.
Mm.
And that definitely, when we find neglect, it commonly occurs to older person when they live with their own family members, and it's it's being neglected by their own adult children or even caregivers. And that's when you would see that it happens due to previous family disharmony, you know, previous history of, you know, violence or abuse happening inside the family. And at the same time, due to caregiving stress, you know, they have got a lot on their plate, and there is very little support that is being given in their caregiving duties.
Mm. Is there a role for the community to also play when it comes to supporting older adults and helping them age in place, especially in some residential communities where it's quite tight-knit, right? What are some examples of, you know, neighbours or fellow older adults? What are some things that they can do to sort of support each other as well?
I mean, we've seen quite a good community support, you know, over the COVID-19 pandemic, you know, where people are living in their own homes and are working from home, so they have more time to look after their neighbors. So I would definitely say, you know, be supportive, you know, for older person to live in an age-friendly environment. Be inclusive, you know, look out for the older person, reach out to them, knock on their door. So it's important to see how they're doing. And in terms of, you know, looking at it at a bigger picture in our governmental, you know, policy planning, we need to include older person in anything that we plan so that they can continue to age in where they are living.
Mm-hmm. And would you have a takeaway message for, especially, I guess, older children, right, in terms of caring for the seniors in our community, in our family, and helping them to age in place?
Yeah, sure. I mean, our older parent, or, you know, as we see the older person, they will continue to have changes in their needs as they grow older. And it's important, you know, what I've mentioned also, not just looking at their physical health, but also ensure that their mental and cognition and their social health is being looked after. So early planning is very important. So that includes, you know, discussion with our aging parent about what is important for them and how they themselves want to be looked after when they cannot look after themselves. So that discussion has to come in early, you know, when there's no difficult moments where, you know, they're hospitalized and, you know, this crucial period comes. So you want to discuss this when everything is calm.
Like what you say, right, Dr. Kwok, engage older persons in these discussions, whether it's in your family, in your community, or wider, you know, governmental policies. We want to hear from them.
Definitely. You know, I find that, I mean, there are a lot of things that the older person wants to do but have difficulties accessing. You know, you think about older person who may be socially isolated, or they may actually be very lonely. But when you discuss about, you know, what could you do, they will come up with issues such as, you know, they can't find where is the nearest, you know, activity clubs or, you know, senior centres. Even if there is, they have difficulties getting there, you know, so the transport system has to be also inclusive for our older people if we want them to live healthily, generally, holistically.
And on that note, thank you so much for joining me today, Dr. Kwok.
No problem. Thank you.
I've been speaking to consultant geriatrician Dr. Kwok Hui Min from University of Malaya Medical Centre, and we've been discussing how to help older adults age in place, especially and specifically as well with the focus on the rise of home-based part-time care services and how that can help older adults and their family members as well. I'm Lim Suen, and this has been Health and Living, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.